Welcome to Generation Radio Podcasts, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generations team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host, proudly sponsoring the Generations Radio show, or you want to call it a podcast like the young kids call it, a podcast. Us older guys call it a radio show. And all our radio shows are on generations808.com. So don't forget, if you miss a show or if you want to go kind of dive into more different aging issues, go to our website, generations808.com. And you can listen to all our past shows we've done on elder abuse, crime, Better Business Bureau, fall prevention, aging in place, legal, financial, reverse mortgages, caregiving. But today I'm kind of excited. I'm glad she was able to make it. I know she's kind of busy. Is Dr. Patricia Borman from Ohana Pacific Medical is on the show today. And I was kind of excited because I talk to clients every week. And dementia is always a big topic for them. So, Dr. Patricia Borman, welcome to the radio show.
Thanks for having me, Percy. I'm always happy to share.
Yeah, you know, and that's what we do with the magazine. As a resource magazine, we try to provide tips, resources, and really we want people to be proactive about their health, let alone legal, financial, and caregiving, all that above. But today, guys, we're going to talk about dementia. And Dr. Borman is a geriatrician. So, Dr. Borman, can you give us a little bit of background on what you do at Ohana Pacific?
Yes. I am their main geriatrician. My primary practice is people probably over the age of 85. And I do a lot of work with individuals and families with various kinds of dementia. I do evaluation for dementia. I follow people living with this illness. And I try to keep my pulse on the resources available for them.
And that's really, really important. I mean, 85 plus, because there are, you know, I tell this all the time in our workshops that for every pediatrician, every geriatrician that graduates medical school, there's 50 pediatricians graduating in medical school. And we need more geriatricians like yourself. So anyway, today we're talking about dementia. And we want to kind of educate people about what it is, what it's not, and how to navigate that. Because I was listening to the, I DVR, digital record, video recording, all the news channels every day. And so I can cut out the commercials, so I copy it, and then go through it very quickly. Because my forward button is always worn out because I move through the commercials. But I believe it was Tuesday morning. One of the news stations was talking about if you lose 1% of sleep per year, just 1%, it increases your possibility of Alzheimer's by 27%. Have you heard that before, Dr. Borman?
Yes, there's actually many things that contribute to brain health. And the flip side is if you're not practicing a brain healthy lifestyle, you definitely increase your risk of dementia.
And
it's
estimated that
50% of dementias can be prevented.
50% of dementia?
50%.
Wow. It's amazing. And I just prefaced my comment because next week's show is going to be having a sleep specialist, Dr. Melissa Malinak from the East Coast. She's actually in town in Hawaii doing workshops, and I kind of got her to persuade her to stay an extra day to relax, enjoy Hawaii, and come on our radio show. So she'll be on next week. But she was mentioning that as well. The lack of sleep can cause many, many issues. But guys, we're talking about the dementia world today, and Dr. Borman, why is this growing so much? Because I remember, you know, I've been involved in aging 21 years now. We started a magazine in 2010, and early on I saw ARP statistic where once you reach the age of 85, and this is back in 2010, 49% of people have a chance to get dementia, some form of dementia, over the age of 85. And
yeah,
why is it growing so much?
Well, that's a good question. It's estimated that cases of dementia have increased 117% in the last two decades, and it looks like they are going to be continuing to rise. Probably the most significant reason is living long enough. You know, we have people living into their 90s. We have centenarians on our planet, and the longer you live, the higher the risk is. But there's other things, too, and that gets back to the concept that dementia is preventable. If we look at things we could be doing for brain health, you know, the truth is we are not doing these things, and yeah, that's increasing our risk.
Right. And it's interesting, Netflix just came out with their new documentary last month, Living to 100, and with Dan Buettner, who started Blue Zones. And he brought the Blue Zones to Hawaii. I think it's on the Big Island right now. Not sure if it's about Oahu, but it's just a concept of Blue Zones and what he learned, all these different areas. And it was parts of Europe, I believe it was Greece, that they have zero dementia in this little town here. And it just amazes me. But I can see when you say 50% of dementia is preventable. But the numbers are so staggering. And Hawaii is the oldest state in the country. And the cases in Hawaii, it's unbelievable.
Yes, it's. I guess that's my bread and butter of the business world.
Right. But the frequency, yes, we're living longer, but it's not actually, Alzheimer's Association, that will tell you, it's not a normal part of aging, is it?
That's correct. People say, oh, it's a normal part of aging. I say, no, it may be a very common thing in aging, but it is not normal. It is an illness or disease process going on.
Right. And, you know, I went to a conference in 2010 in San Diego, an aging, American Society on Aging conference, one of the largest conferences on aging. And, you know, I liked to, when I was still learning more about aging, and I walked a workshop on Alzheimer's. And they were handing out, and I have that DVD in my office. It says on the top, solve Alzheimer's by 2020. They thought in 2010, 10 years from now, they would solve it. Well, this is 2023. And I believe there's no real drug that can stop it, or they might be slowed down, but nothing that was going to cure Alzheimer's. And that's it's hard to believe.
Well, we've made less progress in our medical world on dementia than heart disease, then cancer, then pulmonary disease. So dementia just, we haven't even nipped it in the bud. There is no cure. There's no way to repair the brain once dementia has started. And the most that we can do is we can slow the progression, and we can provide better support for patients and families going through this horrendous illness.
Yeah, it slow it down. I see different stories, different drugs out there. But from practical, I'm 63 now. I started in this business at 42. I've gained a lot of knowledge in 21 years. And I still, I mean, yeah, I get the idea it's a difficult disease. But can I ask, why is it taking so long? Why is it so hard? And we know less about the disease than 13 years ago, in 2010. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I think the brain is an incredibly, incredibly complex organ of our body. And there's a lot of things we don't yet understand about the brain.
And it really amazes me when I do study on research and healthy aging and things, what the brain does. And it makes you, it's an incredible computer, as I would say, in terms of what we can do and how quick we make decisions and how we feel. It's just incredible thing that we have, and we're very fortunate. But the disease, I don't know if you were involved, about 5 years ago, I believe it was, University of Hawaii got a $1 million grant to educate doctors and nurse practitioners and offices to diagnose people that could have the disease. and they said 50% of people that had dementia didn't even know they had it or weren't even diagnosed. And this was like 5 years ago, maybe longer. You think that's still true to happening?
I think it's true that the diagnosis is being missed. There's many reasons. Even though there's been an effort to educate more physicians to recognize and be able to do a diagnosis, create a diagnosis of dementia, the evidence shows that physicians are not really confident or comfortable about that. They're not bringing the topic up. They're not asking whether their patients are having memory problems. And also, part of the issue is that patients probably have their head in the sand a little bit, like ostriches, that even though 70% of the population says they would want to know if they had dementia, only 40% of people who are experiencing memory problems seek help for the problem.
Yeah, so, so true. Go ahead.
When we look at the problem that the primary care physicians are not confident in diagnosing and treating dementia, that's a huge problem. And the reason is there are not enough geriatricians to go around. And today we have about 7,500 geriatric trained physicians in the whole of the United States. And it's estimated that we need 30,000 by the year 2030 and 60,000 geriatricians by 2050.
Well, that's not going to happen.
So one of my missions is try to reach out to the primary care physicians, and particularly those in training who are not yet through with their residency training, and increase their skills. Because it's going to take, as they say, a village. You know, it's going to take doctors of all ilks to really be able to step up our identification and treatment for dementia.
Yeah, I actually have a family relative that's going to finish medical school. Now she's in their, what do you call that, medical internship?
And residency.
Residency, that's the name. And I said, you should get into geriatrics. People, there's so many people, and all the geriatricians are super busy. Yeah, we don't have enough geriatricians. And I think she's going into family practice. But, yeah, one for every geriatrician or 50 pediatricians. Everybody wants to work with kids, and I get it. But the industry is so crowded with pediatricians, and I tell you what, geriatricians, if you want to do a workshop, I'll put a workshop on for doctors. And I'll sponsor and promote it in Generations Magazine. If you come and do a class on how to, the need, first of all, they need to understand seriously this growing issue of dementia, but also why it's important to document them, how to document them. Because I had a client, I'm 63, and I have a lot of people my age that I hang out with, and they all know the magazine. A lot of them listen to our radio show. And they say the mother, I was talking about the mother. I golf with three guys that take care of the mother, live with and take care of the mothers. And I said, you know, she needs to get documented. She needs to get diagnosed. So I think the mother is 88. And so they did. They came back and said, what did the doctor say? The PCP. It says, oh, just old age. I said, it's not old age. They need to understand. So they went back and said, you know, can you give them a test? Memory tests for my mother. And doctor said, oh yeah, she does have a little bit, but I can't document her. I love her. She's been my client for 30 years. It'll ruin her. Oh my God, I said, get rid of that PCP or at least see a geriatrician. And 4 months later they did. And yeah, he goes, yeah, she's got dementia at 88. So now I'm trying to get them prepared to go to workshops, talk to more the geriatrician more about and the neurologist about what's going to happen down the road, what kind of needs they're going to be needed by their family, let alone my friend who lives and takes care of the mother. It's just amazing that they don't understand how important it is. And Hawaii is the oldest state, and we need to do that. But can we regress a little bit and can just kind of explain for a lot of our listeners that maybe have a parent like this, what is dementia?
So dementia is a progressive, fatal, neurodegenerative disorder. And if we break that down, there's a lot of different causes. I use the term dementia, but we can say there's many causes. There's Alzheimer's disease, which causes 70% of the cases of dementia. There's vascular dementia. That's about 20% of the cases. The third greatest category is Parkinson's related or Lewy body dementia. But there's many, many other causes. Infections can cause dementia. Alcohol can cause dementia. There can be autoimmune diseases that cause dementia. But the basic process, whatever starts off the dementia, the basic process is that brain cells die. That causes the brain to shrink. And with cell death, the brain gets weaker and weaker. And skills that we take for granted as adults fall away. So gradually the person living with dementia loses judgment, loses memory, loses language, loses all the skills we can think of that are associated with our highly functioning computer-like brains.
And that's something I think is so sad that it doesn't kill you right away. You know, I have a relative that had it for 20 years now. I had a neighbor that was bedbound for, I believe, 5. I play golf with 3 guys that take care of their parents, and they all have dementia. They're 88, 94, and 91. And it's just something that, I keep on telling them, you know, it's progressive. They're slowly, like, one doesn't talk anymore. One is almost bedbound. One is very happy, but definitely has mood swings. And it's something that I think we have to start getting the families prepared for when it comes where, you know, they can't walk or they don't talk or they cannot even chew, can't go to the bathroom. You know, we did a cover story on the governor's wife, Mrs. Ige, about 2 years ago, and her mother has dementia, and she forgot the governor's wife's name. In fact, there was a famous Supreme Court justice that we had to retire because her husband had dementia. And then a couple years later, he didn't know who she was, and he had a girlfriend. And the judge had a hard time dealing with that. And it's something that I think we all don't want to wish it upon anybody, but it's just something that we have to start preparing ourselves for. You know, when I started, it was 21 years ago, when I started doing research on Alzheimer's, I didn't even know Parkinson's was part of the dementia family.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Yeah. Is that because it's a neurological related disease?
Yes, it's a neurologic related disease, and where, you know, which parts of the brain are affected cause a little bit of different in kind of the flavor of the dementia, but they're all more similar than different. To help families understand what lies ahead if they're living or caring for someone with dementia, I use a model of newborn development because almost everybody on the planet has had a baby or raised a baby or understands that babies grow up. And this process of growing up, you know, a baby is born completely dependent. It is not mobile. We have to carry it around. The baby cannot feed itself. We have to make sure it gets all the nutrition it needs. The baby does not have language for communication and doesn't have an ability to control bowel or bladder. So those skills all develop over time. It's called newborn development. These skills are all learned, and they represent increased brain skills and ability, what we call cognition. So human brains continue to grow and to develop into adulthood to, you know, create the wonderful, complex, heterogeneous population that we know. But with dementia, that all goes in reverse. So all of these skills that have been gained growing from newborn to adult are peeled away like the layers of an onion. And while it is a long disease, so the changes are slow, as it progresses, we basically have adult-sized people who have the brain abilities of newborns. So they need everything done for them. They're not mobile. They stay in bed. They can't feed themselves. They don't have language for communication. And they need all of their bodily needs taken care of. So it's very tragic. When a brain is degenerating, for families, it's like, oh my gosh, where is my loved one? They are deep inside there, but they can't express themselves. And the heartache that you might feel as a mother or a daughter, that this person doesn't recognize you. They don't remember your name. They don't remember all the wonderful experiences that have been taking place in this family. It's really a heartbreaker.
It really is. My mom had passed away last year, September. She was 92. But about 88, I told my mom and dad, we were having dinner and watching TV. And he's like, through my studies and research on Alzheimer's and dementia, it's nearly a 50% chance that one of you are going to get it. So mom looked at her, my dad, she looks back at me and goes, I think it's going to be me. my mom had a very good demeanor, demeanor about life. And she was always happy. She didn't like stress. She didn't like arguments. We rarely did that with her, but she really did have a great demeanor up until she passed away. And it was something that I think you don't want to wish it upon anybody, but I really think, how they grow up and how they live their life really comes out later on in how they react. Because I know I've heard many instances of clients where the husband was very abusive verbally, not really physically, but abusive. Or I had a friend of mine, big advertising executive owner, their mother would put crayons on the curtains. And then I found out about a year later that my friend's sister said, hey, mom did that when she was a kid, she told me. That's what she did to get back at her parents. Crayons on the curtains. Isn't it amazing? And that's the reason why, from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that when people walk away from the house, they tend to go find that store down the street that they used to buy candy from, or the lunch wagon that guy sold popsicles in down the street. And they walked out the house and go back to try to find their own neighborhood,
Yes.
But it's just something I think, we want to talk about some of the things they can prevent or slow down dementia. I also want to talk about later on about just some tips for families and where the resources are. But so, Dr. Borman, you're with Ohana Pacific.
Yes, Medical. Actually, Percy, we've changed our name. We've been rebranded as MyCare Plus.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
MyCare Plus, I like that. And you have different places where people, do you meet people in your offices or do you go to people's homes?
Both. I have office hours 2 days a week. I have an on-the-road day where I'm literally going wherever people lay their heads on the pillows.
Wow.
We also, in our company, have affiliated with a number of different assisted living communities and can see people we work at the Ivy, which is a nice facility down in Hawaii Kai. Predictable hours at Hale O'Miliana, which is one of our newer assisted living places. I'm contracting now to begin working with the memory communities at the plaza. There's five or six different plazas that have memory units. Yeah.
Wow. That's when my parents ended up last year at the plaza in Kaneohe. Mm-hmm. What's the best number to reach you at? Do I use a 930 number?
Yes. Our office number is 930-9858.
And of course, 808. But so it's called MyCare, MI. -CARE?
Yes.
And is it .com? I believe it is.
.org.
.org. Okay, guys.
MyCarePlus.org.
Okay, I'm going to put this number on my phone so I'm going to call you guys. But I appreciate the time. We're going to take a short break, guys. We're here with Dr. Patricia Borman from MyCare.org, local company that does. She's a geriatrician and doctor. But, 930-9858. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It is free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117, NMLS 582-944.
So welcome back to Generations Radio Show or podcast. If you're younger than 60, they probably call it a podcast. We're here with Dr. Patricia Borman, a geriatrician with MyCare.org, MyCare. And it's just a great company. I've known the owner, Stephen Ito, for many years. He actually helped me when I got my shingles, of all things. My goodness, that was a horrible thing to have, shingles, I'll tell you. And, you know, what's interesting, I had shingles at 57. And I asked Stephen, I said, Stephen, how come I didn't know about this? Oh, because insurance doesn't give you the shot until you're 60. But I guess they reduced that. They heard me. They reduced it down to 50, I believe, where the insurance covers shingles. But don't forget, three times a month, Big City Diner, we do workshops called The Realities of Aging. The next one's coming up. We have actually canceled the November 15th workshop because actually I'll be on vacation, and I completely forgot about that. But we have somebody at the Big City Diner, Windward Mall, to help you with that because I won't be there. But November 29th at Waipio, December 6th in Kamiki, December 13th at Windward Mall. We're starting a Pearl Ridge one January 10th, January 17th at Windward Mall back again, and January 24th at Waipio Shopping Center, Big City Diner. So pick up the newest issue because it's going to run out fast, guys. I'm going to forewarn you right now. I hope you're listening to The Real Show. Tell your friends. The November, December issue of Generations Magazine, November, December, is out on the racks today at Big City Diner, Zippy's, all the libraries, most of the retirement facilities, Times Pharmacy, KTA on a Big Island, and Gather Federal Credit Union on Kauai, which is featuring retired UH basketball coach Vince Gu and UH volleyball coach Dave Shoji. Have you seen him in the commercials with the state health insurance program talking about Medicare? Great guys. I got to meet them. Gosh, they're so active still yet. So check it out. It's going to run out fast. Usually we run out within the first month. So by the end of November, it'll probably be all gone. So tell your friends, pick up copies. You can also go to generations808.com and view it online, as well as checking out all our workshops online and the radio show. So this show will be posted within about a week on our website, generations808.com. So don't forget the Realities of Aging workshops and the November this issue with Coach Vince Gu and Dave Shoji. We're here with Patricia Borman from MyCare, entity that really, for our guest today, Dr. Patricia Borman, is a geriatrician. And you do. I didn't know you did palliative care as well.
Yes, I do both. Of course, they're quite related.
Right. But, we're talking about dementia, and it's just a disease that, you know, you don't want to wish it upon anybody. It's a long disease. I call it a family disease. And you see more and more today about dementia. And I loved the new documentary, Living to 100, with Dan Buettner. I've watched it several times already. And I actually show a small segment when I do the workshops. I also show, and I don't know if you're involved much in dementia in 2000, between 2005 to 2008 in Hawaii. But I also found an old DVD that was made by two videographers in the 2000s called The Graying of Hawaii. And they featured different speakers on aging, different issues on aging. We had people, National ARP, Dr. Rather came to Hawaii to talk about aging in Hawaii. Department of Health was on aging. Meals on Wheels, we all talked about aging. And every month at the Capitol on first Friday of the month, today, Kupuna Caucus runs. But the documentary about the graying of Hawaii, and I showed this today because the film was done in 2008. And in 2008, we're talking about these same issues. And it's probably worse today. So if you get a chance, come to my workshop. I'm going to be showing the film, one segment of it. And we talked about dementia back then, how it's a major issue. Back then, the national average was 49 beds per 1,000 people over 65. Hawaii back then had only 22 beds per 1,000 people over 65. So it's a scary thought about this. And I was talking to a financial advisor this morning about long-term care. He goes, you know, Medicaid is not going to be able to survive, and there may be a waiting list for Medicaid beds here in Hawaii. So anyway, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, as they say, or a Don Downer or whatever, but it's an issue to start thinking about, talking about with your kids and your family. But Dr. Borman, you know, they say there's no cure for dementia, but can you prevent dementia?
Yes. I want everybody to know the answer is yes. There are many things we can do to prevent dementia. Up to 50% of cases can be prevented, and I'd like to talk about seven things that make a huge difference.
Okay,
but
go ahead.
We have to start early. So we know that the more education a person receives, this is protective. This reduces your risk of dementia, and it starts right with preschool. Preschool, grammar school, high school, college, continuing education, really for brain health. I want people to get in the habit of lifelong learning. A second pillar of brain health is nutrition. And I use the phrase, we are what we eat. Nutrition is the single most powerful way to reduce your risk of dementia. And also important is physical activity. We see more dementia in people who follow a sedentary lifestyle. Part of brain health and brain protection is being aware and taking care of your medical illnesses. This is especially true for diseases that impact the blood vessels, such as high blood pressure and diabetes. A third thing that you definitely should do if you don't want to get dementia is do not smoke. So smoking doubles your risk of dementia, doubles. Another part of brain health is slow down and smelling the roses. And by that, I mean, our brains need rejuvenation. We need sleep. We need to do stress reduction. We need to play, to enjoy nature, to get out, really relax. These are very important for our brain. And, you know, you see the American lifestyle that everything just keeps moving faster and faster and faster. These are some changes we need to look at to prevent dementia. Another part of brain health I call mental fitness. And it's kind of the principle, use it or lose it. You know, if we're vegging out, just watching TV all the time, that does not stimulate your brain. It doesn't create new connections or increase your cognitive abilities. And finally, and I think we're way ahead in this category in Hawaii, is community. So individuals that have a purpose, they're social, they have friends, family, community connections, they are going to be better off and have a less risk of dementia. When we look at these factors that help prevent dementia, they're lifelong. I mean, I think one of the reasons that we haven't made much headway is prevention starts in the newborn, really. It starts with nutrition and how we're raised. And if you look at our society, we just start doing things that are brain healthy. If we know that nutrition is the single most important thing, we know what a brain healthy diet is, but are we doing it? Are we eating green leafy vegetables, vegetables of all colors, whole grains, nuts, berry, beans, and legumes? It's not on everybody's top of the list. And if we look at the products that are really harmful for brain, that we know create brain inflammation, animal products, processed foods like sausages, spam, bacon, salamis, fried and grilled foods are very bad for the brain.
What kind of food is that? Fried
grilled foods.
Okay.
When we cook on a high heat and we get that brown, crispy stuff,
mm-hmm.
it may taste good, but it's not good for you.
Really? I never heard that one before. Okay, I'll tell my wife.
Yes. So we're not eating healthy, and it shows in the increased incidence of dementia.
Mm. That's so true, though. In fact, all these seven topics, main points are, a lot of it they found in the Blue Zones documentary. If you get a chance on Netflix, they mm-hmm. talk a lot. Every country is a little bit different. I believe they went to Costa Rica, Greece, Italy, Okinawa, and of all places, Loma Linda, California, which is a big Seventh-day Adventist group county there. But theirs was really big, was community, exercise, and physical activity. They had a lady that was a pickleball champion over there. But these are really good. I try to adhere to all of them. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When you say do not smoke, and I'll come to why, tell you why afterwards, but what's the difference between smoking cigarettes, cigars, or a pipe?
In terms of brain health, nothing. They're all harmful.
Oh, okay.
When we smoke or vape, we are inhaling carbon monoxide, which is a toxin. It kills brain cells. And, if you can avoid a toxin, that's really important.
Okay, got it. The reason why one of my bad habits my wife doesn't like is I smoke cigars. So that's uh-huh. why I say that. But I exercise a lot. We try to eat as healthy as possible. We do have recreation days, I call it, where we enjoy. Well, we don't eat any spam or anything like that hardly ever anymore. But we definitely try to eat healthy as much as possible. It's just something that, you're right, it's a lifestyle. And I wish the schools would teach that more. I remember when I got into business, when I did my research, like 2004 on dementia, I think back then, cancer and heart got $5 billion a year from the government research. And Alzheimer's got barely $50 million. That's one-tenth. And it was $500 million. I could not believe that. And I think now, ever since Obama was in office, he did offer give us more money, but we are so far behind in terms of funds to do research, different clinical trials that I know going on out there. It's just something that I don't want to wish this upon anybody. But so preventability, we got to stay healthy by your mental awareness, exercise. I tell people, get outdoors, get out of the house, get some sunlight, clear the mind with the physical activity. Nutrition is always something, I think, But yeah, I think education is really big, and that's why I would do these workshops 3 times a month. In fact, I'm going to email your girl over there to see if you can come and speak at one of our events, because this is really important. And, you know, I'm a knowledgeable guy, but I'd rather have them hear it from a geriatrician. But the typical American diet is not good. Can you talk about that?
Well, we're not taking the time and the energy to cook healthy. You know, I was lucky growing up that we sat down to the dinner table, took a lot of time, and the food was prepared and blessed and taken into our bodies in a relaxed and easy fashion. People are moving so fast now. Oh, we're going to eat in a car. We're going to do a drive-in. These foods, they're not as healthy for you as whole foods. Foods in their natural state that we cook. It's nutrition can reduce your risk of dementia by 50%. If there are studies that show the healthier you can eat, you can slow down dementia by up to 7 years, which we don't have anything else that's powerful. No. And I get to tease my patients because if they only do half of the good nutrition things, they still get 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Instead of the full 7.
It's just something that it has to be a practice. We cut out that chicken you get for $5.99. We cut out all that stuff. We don't eat hardly ever eat sausages anymore. We do like good bacon once in a while, but we put it in I bought my wife an air fryer, which is really good. We don't use butter at all, hardly ever. Let's see what else is on your list here. Grilled foods we do, but I'll make sure we don't charbroil it anymore, Dr. Borman. Fried food, yeah, once in a while. We don't eat that much fried food. We don't go to McDonald's. We don't eat fast food very often, but we do. So let me ask you this. What about a glass of wine a day?
Well, alcohol in very small proportions, like one glass of wine a day, has actually been shown to decrease dementia. Now, I have some interesting debates with my neurology friends and saying, is it the glass of wine or is it slowing down and having a cocktail hour and socializing?
And reducing stress.
With or without the wine.
But reducing stress. But now, so when you say wine, I like mostly white wine. Does white wine versus red wine make it that much of a difference?
Well, the red wine, there are factors in the red wine related to the color that are been proven to be helpful in brain health.
Right.
That are not present in the white wine.
Interesting. Okay. Now, we got a few minutes more. I want to spend some time about how can we help patients and their families cope with this illness. Can you give us some tips, Dr. Borman?
Well, I think for families, I do a lot of anticipatory guidance is how to change, how communication with dementia changes, and how we can change as the people with healthy brains. We can be flexible, change the way that we communicate that will make people living with dementia more comfortable and less frustrated. I think we can also help patients and their families cope with more activities that decrease isolation, that stimulate mental engagement. I'm talking about things at senior centers and parks and recreation and adult day programs. There's an interesting thing going on with dementia cafes, which many restaurants will devote an evening or two per month where people with dementia can come and not feel self-conscious, feel like everybody's staring at them, and have, you know, a date night or just a night out that feels pretty normal.
Good idea.
We as a society need to prioritize physical activity, and big thing to help cope with this illness is supporting caregivers. people need more and more supervision, more and more care. We need caregivers education. We need anticipatory guidance from them. We need to support them emotionally and financially. What more can we do? We need to, of course, continue clinical research. You've talked about that, Percy. But we need to train and attract more individuals into providing geriatric health care. You know, the only 1% of physicians go into geriatrics.
That's 1%.
Pretty rare bird.
Wow.
1%. Social workers, 4% of them get extra training in geriatrics. Nurses, 1% of all nurses, you know, feel that draw and become involved with the geriatric population. We need 1.2 million is the current shortage in our nation for people to care for people with dementia. So even the non-professional caregivers, we're not getting enough of them. So how do we get more human beings interested in care for our kupuna?
I recommend people, families, go to Alzheimer's Association. They have workshops every week, in person and online. The Caregiver Foundation of America does in person and online. Sally Makalena, who's been on our show a couple times, Give Me a Break, nonprofit, does workshops every week. And they support specifically caregivers. So if you know any other, let us know. And maybe we should do, I'm going to recommend next year in 2024, we do some kind of a dementia summit. You know, I do an annual aging in place workshop every year that, I think this past year we got like 1,400 people there. Before COVID, we had 2,000 people. But I think this coming 2024, I'd like to do one on a caregiving workshop and also a dementia-specific workshop. I would invite you to speak because education is huge. I run into people every week that have dealing with their parents and dementia. Like I said, I golf with three people themselves that are caring and living with their parent right now. That's how big of an issue is. And everybody is going to have to do some kind of caregiving, not for a dementia patient, but for your elderly parent. And it's just vital that we get that funding. I can only help so much, but education is big. Now, isn't November Dementia Month as well?
Yes,
I believe
yes,
it is.
And that's you know, we're meeting today in November, and there'll be an increased emphasis on it. I would like people to know that you don't need to have shame if someone you love or yourself is diagnosed with dementia, because you are not alone. Percy, you've already mentioned 1 in 6 will have dementia. But if I go into a gymnasium or an auditorium, you know, raise your hand if your life has been influenced by dementia. You can't believe how many hands go up.
Yeah.
A mom, a dad, a cousin, an auntie, my spouse. You are not alone with this illness, and we need to de-emphasize, oh, it's a stigma. No, it's not. It just is. And let's take care of it.
Yeah, so important. I have three personal friends of mine. Their spouses have dementia right now, and they're all got it before they were 60.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad. Okay, Dr. Borman, thank you so much. Don't forget now, MyCare is the name of the company, Dr. Patricia Borman, geriatrician, palliative medicine. Their phone number, guys, 808-930-9858. So take that number down. Look for a consultation with Dr. Borman. And you know, Dr. Borman, thank you so much. I will be contacting you in the future. I would like to do some kind of a summit on this next year. We'll put it in a magazine.
Yeah.
We'll have you as one of our speakers. But thank you so much. I appreciate your time. But have a great weekend. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. on 101.1. And don't forget on your Spectrum TV, 883 is the digital number. In the morning, if you don't want to watch sports, and your wife tells you, turn off the sports. Okay, turn on a radio show. Generation808.com is all our radio podcasts that are housed there, and this show will be there in about a week. So thank you so much. Everybody, as always, aloha and live well. Have a great weekend.
Aloha.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It's free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117. NMLS 582-944.